It's Thursday, January 26th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we finish up our series on how to attend a convention.
Let's do this.
All right, so Rim went to Rochester for Anime Club. But actually, he didn't, because it's still Wednesday, and he's right there. And we're just recording this right now, you know, with just me, to give the illusion that we're actually recording Thursday, when we're not.
Actually, I'm packing, and I'm doing post-production for the two episodes before I go out of town. So I don't have time to actually talk on the show today.
Right, but you people listening will be hearing this Thursday night, unless you happen to be cool enough to be on our forums, in which case you would get this the day early, which is when it was made. So if you're not in our forums, you should probably join them. So even if you don't join the discussion on the forums, at least become a member so that, you know, when we release a podcast early or make a special announcement, you can be the first one there. And also, when we're going to redesign our blog, the theme on the front page of frontrowcrew.com at some point in the future when we finalize our logo and all that, and you will no longer be able to comment on the different entries there. So the forum is going to be the only place for discussion to happen. So if you're a regular listener, join the forum. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to tell people to do this until eventually one day I'll have to tell them not to join because there's too many people there. Anyway, so it being really Wednesday, I don't have any Thursday news, but I do have an awesome thing of the day. It's this video of this 12-year-old kid playing the drums. Drum solo. No band, no singers, no nothing. It's just this kid on his own playing the drums. And I gotta say, it's not even for a 12-year-old. For anyone, no matter their age, this is some amazing freaking drumming. Now, I'm not an expert drummer or an expert on drum playing, but I don't think you have to be to recognize how awesome this drumming is. And then, when you add that to the fact that he's 12 years old, it's just even more awesome. Now, at first, I thought maybe he was the, you know, one of those kids where the parents took him since the age of zero and made him do this thing, and he has no social skills, and he's a loser and whatever. But if you watch the video and you hear him talk at the beginning, he seems like he's a cool, happening kid who knows the score and is, you know, intelligent, like someone you want to hang out with. So watch it and enjoy. And now listen to the podcast that we recorded many days ago.
All right, so today we're going to conclude our little series on how to attend conventions with the final bits and then some nice regular closing advice. So like we said last time, we're going to cover the Artist Alley, the dance slash rave, because every con seems to have a different kind of dance, and some are scary, and you really got to know what you're getting into. And also, we want to yell at you to make sure you don't end up being that glow stick waving smelly fanboy that's always in my way when I'm trying to dance.
If you're that guy, oh my god, I'm coming to get you.
Yeah. DramaCon. Because there's no drama involved with our rooms. Ever since one convention, the first Otakon we went to, where a couple people in our room had some issues and ended up having some drama, we basically weeded all the drama out. And while we're friends with people who cause drama, they are not allowed to stay with us at conventions, which makes our life awesome. Mm-hmm. And then leaving the convention, because leaving is actually a fine art, and if you fail at it, you'll ruin your whole Sunday.
Yeah, leaving is key. Yeah. It can be harder than arriving, actually. And basically, the longer it takes you to leave and the more you fuck up leaving, the less time you have at the final day of the convention.
Because we stayed up way too late Saturday night at the last Otakon, and we fucked up leaving in the morning, and we basically missed a bunch of stuff, and it was horrible.
It wasn't horrible.
It wasn't horrible. We've done worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, artist alleys. Now, for any of you who haven't been to a convention, and this is really true of anime and gaming conventions, especially.
Comic conventions also have big artist alleys.
See, I've never actually been to a comic convention.
A comic convention is sort of like an anime convention because it has the artist alley, which is almost the same thing. And it has the panels, and it has, but it doesn't have, like, the big events, like concerts and dances and things. And instead of having, like, you know, a dealer's room and then everything else separate, it's pretty much this giant room where there's just booths. And every booth is either a dealer or a comic guy or both.
Huh?
And you basically, at a comic convention, you walk around to all the booths. And the booths are kind of like the expensive ones for people with money. And the artist alley is where the poor people are.
But at most conventions, basically all the artist alley is you'll see the dealer's room, and that's where all the professional stuff is. It costs a lot of money to be in there, and everyone's trying to make money. Artist alleys tend to be anyone who ponies up some paltry amount of money, or sometimes it's just free, and they get a little space on the table, and they can do whatever they want with that space.
As long as it follows certain rules, and usually they just present their art and try to get people to like their art and maybe get a few commissions, sell a few little pictures or something, maybe some arts and crafts.
Now, at small conventions, just go and have fun and don't even try to make money. You might make money, but it's really not the primary focus. It's just artists hanging out. But if you go to a big convention like Otakon or Anime Central,
there are people who make big money.
Yeah. Like, we have friends who make a lot of money sitting in the artist alley all day for, like, the whole convention just selling their art or doing commissions or making stickers.
It's actually pretty awesome that, you know, someone who doesn't get much coverage and, you know, they have really good art skills, but, you know, no one pays attention to them and they're not well known, can just sit in this room all day and people will notice them and then pay them a lot of money.
I mean, honestly, I used to go to the dealer's room, and that was, like, my big thing. But as I went to more conventions, and I've seen every little anime, gadget, gizmo, plushie you can buy, and I've got all the ones I want, I don't buy so much in the dealer's room anymore. I spend almost all my money in Artist Alley buying, either commissioning things, or buying little prints, or buying the originals if I can, and bidding on art.
Yeah, I mean, Artist Alley used to be like, eh, I'm not really too keen on that, whatever. I wasn't too interested in it. You know, and the dealer's room was like, oh, yeah, look at this stuff. All this stuff I can't get in America. My little, you know, action figure-y guys and little model kits and all kinds of cool stuff, right? But then eventually, they don't make so much new stuff. So, like, once you've been to the dealer's room, especially the Otakon one, or you go to online and you look in dealers, you know, dealers' websites, you eventually see everything there is, and there isn't too much new, amazing stuff. It's just like more of the same, and once you find the more of the same that you want and buy it all, you're pretty much like, all right, unless there's a rare gem in here somewhere, I don't care. But in Artist Alley, there's all kinds of people who think like you and are making the things that, you know, you wish they made officially, but they don't.
I mean, you'll see a lot of just unique stuff. I remember the first thing that really made us realize how awesome it was is way back, I think it was our first Otakon. I saw this little print for sale.
Mario
and the original
Lieutenant?
For sale. Yeah, Super Shoujo Brothers. And it was all the characters from Shoujo Kakumei Utena dressed up as characters from Mario Brothers. And I realized that there are infinite possibilities in the genre of something dressed up like something else.
Yeah, but you realize that that's just also in the realm of scary fanfic?
Eh, whatever.
Yeah, it's weird because if it's a scary fanfic, I'll be like, that's just a scary fanfic. Get that the hell away from me. But if someone draws a really cute picture, it all depends on the quality of their drawing. Like, if they draw it really crappily, I'll be like, that's a scary fanfic picture. But if they draw it really amazingly, it's like, holy crap, someone needs to scan that and put it all over the internet stat.
I mean, what was it we saw this year that we really... Oh, right, it was Princess Peach.
That was last year, I think.
That was last year. Well, last year there was a big one, and this year there were the prints, and I got a little print.
Yeah.
And you got that Freedom Gundam whatever.
Yeah, Gundam's awesome.
Yeah, I got to figure out where I put those so we can get them framed.
I think they're on your desk somewhere or something.
Yeah, I put them somewhere safe, and I'm not sure where I put them.
Good job.
Yeah, I'll dig them up.
Yeah, but it was like Princess Peach with like crazy armor sitting on a Yoshi with like this crazy umbrella. It was just an amazing, amazing picture that like anyone who likes Mario would like kill to have on their wall.
I mean, it went for a lot of money because way back there was only one for sale. It was in the auction. It went for some crazy amount of money. And the guy was like, I can't believe that was popular. So we came back selling prints of it. Mm-hmm. And he sold, like, all of them right away.
Yep. I mean, if you do something good, you'll make a killing. All right, so to get into Artist Alley, basically you just go to the website for whatever convention you're going to and read the instructions. Read the instructions very carefully.
And do it early.
As early as possible.
I mean, Otakon's Artist Alley sold out within an hour of going live.
Yeah, that's only Otakon, though. Other cons should be okay, but, like, a medium-sized con, you might have a little trouble if you wait till the last minute. So as soon as you decide you're definitely going to the convention, follow the Artist Alley instructions. if you have to, like, call someone or email the people at the convention or something to make sure you've done it right, and maybe confirm a couple times just to make sure 100%.
Yeah, because there are often a lot of stupid legal things you have to deal with in an artist alley. Because, like, Maryland, for one, has all these laws about vending, and you have to apply for a vendor's permit, before, or otherwise the police will literally come bust you up.
Mm-hmm.
Some states are more lax. Just find out whatever the rules are. The convention will tell you, and just do them. If you're under 18, you might have a lot of trouble, and there's really nothing that can be done about that.
If you're under 18, just don't bother, or, you know, just hang out in Artist Alley, or find someone who's, you know, usually if there's someone who's over 18 and they have a table and you can make friends with them, or they are your friend already, and you just sit with them, or they let you sit with them, no one will notice or care, you know, something like that.
I mean, my main advice if you're going to sit in Artist Alley is, one, get a bunch of friends with you, because then it's just fun to hang out there all day with all your friends doing art.
Yeah, what really sucks about Artist Alley is you don't want to end up sitting there all day and all night and not enjoying the rest of the convention at all. You need to have some sort of rotation with people where you get up and you sit down, and you need to have an easy way to get your stuff in and out of there, because you don't want to leave it there unattended, because it'll just be stolen or destroyed,
yeah,
or something.
I highly recommend you share an Artist Alley table with a friend. It makes the experience much more enjoyable.
Like, infinitely so. All right. The second thing you got to do is you got to figure out what you're going to do with the Artist Alley table. And I recommend, there are two ways you can go about it. If you're like a super artist, you pretty much just have to display your art and people will come and patronize you. It's that easy.
Now, it depends on what you want by patronize. Do you want to sell prints? Do you want to sell originals? Do you want to generate buzz for your online webcomic project? Mm-hmm. Do you want to get people to commission you? That's one of the primary motive forces in Artist Alleys these days, is people seeking commissions.
Yep. Of course, if you want to make lots of money, you're pretty much going to have to face the truth, and you're not going to be able to do what you want to do and what you like to do if you want to make lots of money. You're going to have to pander to the fans.
And the fans want something that's cute and relatively cheap that can be produced in mass quantity that no one else is offering.
Yeah, it has to be unique. So, let's say there's a super new anime called Amazing Crazy Whatnot Show, and there's a cute animal in the show, but there are no plushies of that animal, and everyone in the show wears these special sunglasses, and those sunglasses are not available for purchase, or they're very expensive in the dealer's room for the official ones.
If you can make those sunglasses, even if they're kind of crappy, if they're just good enough,
yeah,
you'll sell all of them immediately.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you make a plushie of that cute little animal, or you make, like, a hat that looks like the animal, or anything, pictures of the animal. You'll be freaking sold.
I mean, like, the year right after FMA came out and was really popular, and then Otakon happened, there was almost no Fullmetal Alchemist merchandise in the dealer's room, just because it hadn't gotten over to the U.S. yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Artist Alley, a few people realized this and came with a pile of like Full Metal Alchemist buttons and stickers, and I think they sold them all. I still have my Hughes sticker.
Yep, I got a little Hughes pin. I actually have an official Hughes pin, and I have a Hughes sticker that's really cute. Stickers go well if you have cute pictures on them that no one else has.
Yeah, stickers are key, especially stickers that easily fit on someone's con badge.
Mm-hmm. I remember what was big in the dealer's room. I was looking for Death Note stuff because Death Note was not highly merchandised in the dealer room. So
yep,
pretty much anything with Death Note on it that was in Artist Alley, I just picked up.
It's hard to say what's going to be the big thing this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Death Note is going to be past its prime in the sense that a lot of people are going to be doing it.
Yeah, but it's going to be huge, though, because the manga is actually out in English now.
True.
As opposed to just other languages. And so now all the other people have picked up on it. And it sold quite well, actually.
Yeah, because back at Katsucon last year, there were two Death Note items of art in the entire convention in the auction, and I bid on them and lost.
Wow.
Yeah, that anecdote didn't go anywhere.
Oh.
No, I didn't, like, meet the artist and then, like, she tried to kill me or anything cool. I just lost.
Now, if you're an Artist Alley visitor, it's a little different. Basically, what you want to do is you want to go there as soon as it officially opens, but if you do that, they're not all the artists will be set up yet because they're mostly lazy. But you still want to do that in case anyone sets up something crazy that's going to sell out, like, you know, crazy go nuts.
So basically, just kind of walk into the room, give a scan, make sure there's nothing weird going on.
Yeah, if you see something like a crowd of people throwing money around, whatever that is, it's 90% chance it's awesome and you want it. So you better run over there and fight with the best of them. But then you want to come back like at least once a day and check everything, because artists rotate in and out and there'll be something different every freaking time. Unless it's a really tiny con, in which case, you know, you'll pretty much see everything in one go. But if it's any, even the medium-sized cons now have respectable artist alleys that you have to visit multiple times.
Yeah, the one con that doesn't, surprisingly, is Anime Expo. We've never been to it, but from all my friends who have gone or told me about it, their artist alley, unless it's changed very recently, is like a hole in the wall under a stairway in the back middle of nowhere.
Wow. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah. Well, Anime Expo is very much a business-side-oriented convention, and Otakon is definitely a fan-oriented convention.
And that's why it is to win.
Fair. Now, a lot of people give commissions, or they try to sell commissions in Artist Alley. And basically, if you're not really familiar with the concept, it means you go to an artist whose style you like, and you ask them to draw you something, and they tell you how much it'll cost to do that. And they'll either mail it to you, or you can pick it up at the end of the con.
Yep. You can get, like, you can ask for anything from, like, a 2-minute, like, a 2-second sketch. Like, just sketch it real quick, and it'd be, like, a few dollars. To draw me a giant thing in full color, or make me a tapestry, which will cost you from, you know, maybe $50 to $100 to thousands of dollars, depending on the artist and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's this guy who makes these awesome anime, like, tapestries. And it'd be a couple thousand dollars for what I want. But I'd like to commission, like, this giant Utena tapestry and just hang it in our kitchen.
Yeah, great.
Mainly to cut down on the echo in there. That room's too big and has too little in it.
We'll get some stuff to put in it.
We got one FMA wall scroll. I don't think it's dampening the sound so much.
Eh, we'll get something else. But I don't think a giant $1,000 tapestry is the most economical decision.
I have two basic warnings. If you're doing commissions for other people, be warned that at least half the people who come up to you will probably ask for something horrible and pornographic.
Now, if you don't mind drawing that,
you'll make a ton.
Yeah, way to go. But I wouldn't draw that if I was an artist, you know. So you guys gotta say no.
It depends on your level of scruples, but don't be afraid to say no. Not even if it's porn. If it's something that you don't think you can do, something that's too ambitious or you won't have time for, just don't be afraid to say no. More people will come, and they expect that because that's what happens. Not everyone can do everything.
Another good strategy is if you're a really good artist, you can just say, oh, you want something porn, double price.
Yep.
You know, and those fanboys, they're freaky. They'll pay it.
Yeah, and yeah, they really will.
And if you don't, you know, and you can get away with drawing it a little shitty, you know, and what do you care? It's just a porn thing. Don't put your name on it. No one will know. You know, they'll be like, oh, that's shitty. You know, it doesn't look like they drew it. Whatever.
Now, if you want a commission for yourself from an artist, a lot of people don't seem to realize that you actually have to put a little bit of thought in it. If you just walk up and say, draw me a giant robot doing something awesome, that's really not enough input.
Yeah, you have to say,
artists
like,
hate that. Some people like to run with it, but most artists I've known hate it if you ask for a commission or a sketch and then you really don't give them any idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want them to draw your Dungeons & Dragons character dressed up as Alucard from Hellsing, you better have a good explanation of what your character looks like or you're not going to be happy with the result.
Yeah. The thing is, if someone's your friend, like you know them, then they kind of know what you like. Or if you just tell an artist, draw whatever you want, they'll draw whatever they want. You know?
Yeah, my freaking artist friends, if they know that if they draw like an air pirate in the sky doing something awesome and some sort of steampunk era, I'll just go nuts over it.
Yeah, but if it's an artist you don't know and you just walk around and you see their style is awesome, you know, tell them, I want you to draw a pirate posing like this and do a pose and then be like wearing, you know, an eye patch and a peg leg and they're standing on a ship and it's real windy and there's a crazy weird cutesy animal flying around, you know, that looks like this. That's about a good enough description, I think. Yeah, you can't just be like, I want a pirate, because they'll just draw like a little stick figure with an eye patch and give you a finger. At least they should.
I mean, I guess we could talk about Artist Alley forever just because we love it.
Oh, yeah, it's not all about Artist Alley, is it?
No, it's not, but check out Artist Alleys. Go to a convention. They're an experience that you can't really describe. You just have to see it.
Yep.
Now, the dance, or the rave, or whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
Now, we might make some enemies here because basically there are two camps when it comes to dances at conventions. And these two camps are split about 50-50.
There is a third camp, which I can talk about.
Oh, yeah. But they're not...
I don't think you're thinking of the same third camp I'm thinking of.
I might be. I don't know.
I don't think you are.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But basically, there are the people who want dance rave music, and there are people who want to dance to anime music. Or Japanese music in general. And there seem to be two unique separate subcultures dedicated to these two types of dancing at cons. And every con handles it differently. And I guess, in my opinion, KatsuCon has the best dance of any convention on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Because they definitely cater to the kind of dance I like. And they know who's going to their con. On Friday last year, they played 80s music. Like, bad 80s music from my childhood.
Scary.
And it was me and all my friends who all grew up in the 80s dancing with other geeks who also grew up in the 80s at an anime con, and it was fantastic. It included the ninja rap.
Wow.
And then Saturday, they played a lot of OC remixes, a lot of anime music with bass beats added so you could dance to it, a lot of Para Max type stuff, and they had big projectors. Like, they played River City Ransom stuff that you could dance to. And they had projectors with two staff guys playing River City Ransom fighting each other in time with the music.
Did he get the lead pipe?
I actually don't remember. I was too busy dancing.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Yeah, and watching my poor friend who met this cute girl, and they're like dancing with each other, and then our scary friend scared her away.
That always seems to happen.
It was... I'll describe that story someday, but basically, it was the biggest cock block in the history of the world.
I've seen bigger cock blocks.
If I tell this story in detail, I think you will agree that this is the biggest cock block in the world. When a scary man runs up and tries to headbutt the girl you're trying to flirt with, that's the end.
Yeah, it is, but I've heard worse. Believe me, I actually have heard worse.
Now, Otakon seems to definitely tend to more toward the rave aspect.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if it's not an anime convention, you know, if it's any other kind of convention, and they have some dance of some sort, you know, it's just rave is what you do. There's not, you know, other conventions don't have a type of music associated with them.
Yep.
I mean, you can't really play D&D music at a gaming convention. It just doesn't, you know.
I mean, we all went to PenguinCon, a Linux convention in Michigan. And they had a dance, and they played mostly 80s music that we'd recognize, and like the Time Warp and all that freaky stuff that people at those kind of cons like to dance to.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like they could play Linux music.
They could play DCSS.
I guess they could, but that's not very dancing, if you know what I mean.
The hell? Right paren.
Yeah, so... But at anime conventions, they can play anime music if they want, and that's what we prefer, because... You know, what's the point? I can go, if I want to go to a rave, I can go to a rave out anywhere, anytime. You know, I'm coming to this convention is because it's about anime, and I like anime, and I like anime music, and that's what I want to, you know, dance to. And I know that, you know, it'll be easier to find cool people if they're also dancing to that, because that's what cool people will do. If you have a rave, that's what drags in all kinds of ne'er-do-wells and such.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem with, I guess, very large conventions is that the dance is pretty much an unmitigated disaster in terms of maintenance, planning, and security. There's just no way to actually police it. And there's just crazy people running around swinging glow sticks around on sticks or strings. And people just, like, laying in the back asleep, getting stepped on. Or people just standing in the middle of the dance floor not even dancing.
Yeah, I hate it when dance floors get too crowded and you can't do anything except bounce up and down. That's just like, all right, I'm out of here.
See, I'm fine with a really crowded dance floor if everyone's actually dancing. Mm-hmm. But when it's 10 people standing in a circle, or, God, circles. Don't even get me started on circles.
Yeah, one guy who can, like, do a backflip is in the middle of the circle just backflipping repeatedly while everyone stands around in a circle just kind of shimmying, just watching the guy.
Ask any professional DJ or professional lighting dude for any sort of dance club. Circles are the end of your dance. If circles are forming, it means you fucked up and the music is not danceable.
Mm-hmm.
Or the people at your dance just suck.
It's usually the people sucking.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with someone showing off their bad b-boy skills, but not in the middle of the dance floor, preventing all of us who are trying to actually dance.
Yeah, that's agreed. But the key to succeeding at a dance is don't worry about your eyes, don't worry about your ears... Worry about your nose. If you smells bad, move your feet to somewhere else.
Good God. You can smell Otakon's dance from halfway across the convention center.
It's really nasty. Like, the guys who are swinging the glow sticks, yeah, they should put some deodorant in them glow sticks and then crack them open and pour them on the pits, because goddamn. You got these people who didn't shower since the morning or possibly the previous day, and they're basically nonstop moving their bodies, sweating all over the place. They're not stopping, and there's a whole bunch of them in a really crowded room with poor ventilation.
Now, don't let that dissuade you. Maybe it'll dissuade you from Otakon's dance, but in general, con dances, even if you're kind of shy or you're afraid of dancing or you think you look silly, oh my god, go. You'll have an amazing time.
Yeah. If the only reason you're not dancing is you think you look silly, just look around.
Yeah.
It's not like a nightclub where, you know, people kind of know how to dance or they pretend to or, you know, whatever. This is a bunch of nerds. They all look silly. No one cares. No one's looking at you. You know, and
like you see that bad b-boy in the middle of a circle, and he looks like he's doing something crazy and complex with a Joe stick. Why do I keep saying Joe stick?
I don't know, because
because of Tokyo Joe.
All right,
yeah, that's what we used to call those types.
Yep,
but they got a glow stick and they're doing something crazy with it, and it looks really awesome.
No, it's not.
If you turn the strobe light off, he's just kind of moving his hand around in a circle, and it's something anyone can do with zero practice.
Yeah, don't be intimidated. That's the key.
Just go in, flail your arms, meet a cute girl or cute guy, and just dance with them.
Yep. And trust me, anyone there who's not already dancing with someone wants to dance with someone.
Yes.
Of the opposite sex. And if they don't want to dance with the opposite sex, they'll just tell you, because gay people are cool like that.
Yeah. Anime cons are great places to meet compatible people. If you're a geek and you're at a con and you see a cute girl, go over there, dance with her, or play DDR with her or something.
The real key is just to have social skills and not smell. If you don't smell, you're not ugly, and you have any amount of social grace, any amount at all. Of course, you know, I guess that's sort of false, because you either have grace or you don't, but
I don't have grace. I don't want grace. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, but if you have any social skills whatsoever, you know, and there's a common interest, duh, you're at the same convention about the same thing. There's already a common interest.
Because that's the first, like, barrier most shy people seem to have over actually getting up the nuts to go ask a girl out, or do you want to dance with me? And girls, too, I'm just using the guy example because I'm a guy, mm-hmm. is that, you know, what do I say? It's an anime con. Talk about how much you hate Shinji.
Yeah.
You've all seen the same shows.
Or, hey, they're playing this great anime song. Go up and be like, dude, I love this song, blah, 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 and start singing it, and maybe they'll start singing it, because trust me, girls at anime cons love to sing songs.
Yeah, I mean, God, we used to run dances, or anime music nights, we called them, at our club at RIT, and whenever we played that freaking Inuyasha song, I want to change the world.
Oh, that's an Inuyasha song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking the girls there would scream it at the top of their lungs.
If you sing it with them, they will like you.
Yes, they will like you.
As long as you don't sing it like,
what the hell was that?
I tried to make a painful noise without making it loud.
You just sounded like the cheat. Yeah.
Yeah, the cheat, he can totally rock the house with his switch light raves. Light switch raves. Yeah, so after you're done with the dance and you go back to your room and take a shower, you got to worry about how to leave the convention on Sunday.
Yes, and basically, this is very critical in the sense that if you do not do it, like I said earlier, and you do not do it well, you will lose your Sunday.
Now, Sunday is an important con day. This is the last day for the dealer's room, which is when there'll be mad sales, because dealers will be trying to get rid of all their stuff that they brought with them, because the less they have to bring back, they might be able to get a smaller truck, and they save money, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you'll find deals, like our friend Scott Johnson, he just wanders around to every bin where someone's like, 5 DVDs for $5, get these out of my store.
Yep.
And he'll just buy them all regardless of what.
And they spent a lot of money to get their dealer's table at Otakon, so they're going to sell as much there as they can to get their money's worth, you know? I mean, if they bring it back to their store, they basically lost money in some sort of indirect way. So they're desperate to sell whatever they can, and on Sunday, when it's the last day, you can freaking rake it in if you know what you're doing.
Yep, don't be afraid to haggle. Just if you see something you can't afford, just ask them if they'll sell it to you for $5 less, if you'll pay cash.
Yeah, the only real reason to buy something before Sunday is if it's real, you know, you might, you know, have trouble carrying it, or there's some special situation, or it's going to sell out right away.
Or it's a cactuar.
Yeah.
Yeah, way back, we always wanted a cactuar plushie, and they hadn't been manufactured for a while. And they definitely weren't being sold in the U.S. legitimately. And one day we saw one at the con, and this dealer guy who was like wearing stilts was standing there holding it. And we ran over, like, can we buy your cactuar? Can we buy your cactuar? And he looked at us, and he hugged it close to his chest, and he shook his head.
That's because it was his and not for sale.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Fast forward 2 years into the future, I'm at KatsuCon, and I look, and I see this little bin. And in this bin, I see a cactuar. And I freak out, and I reach to grab it. And my friend Bruce, who's right there next to me, who also wanted one, reaches to grab it. And we're standing there, and we're holding this cactuar, this ultra-rare plushie, and we're looking at each other. And he's in the Navy, so he can pretty much just kill me and take it. And then we look, and there's another cactuar. There were, in fact, three in the entire convention. And we bought them both, and the third one sold immediately to some guy who was standing right there. And the whole rest of the con, everyone kept asking us where we got the cactuars. And we told him, yeah, that dealer. Sunday, we run into that dealer, and he sees the cactuars, and he says, and I quote, so you're the bastards. You know how many people have been asking me for freaking cactuars?
Yeah, that's what happens if you get something ultra rare.
They're not that rare anymore. It looks like they remade them.
They remade them, but I think those are a different version. They're not the exact same cactuar.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. I like the one we've got the best. The other ones are not so good.
Our friend Alex did the same thing with a little Tonberry.
Well, I think he ordered it online somewhere, actually. Oh, he went to the dealer, and the dealer didn't have something he wanted. So he said, do you have this? And the guy says, no, but I have it at my store. And the dealer went to his store that night, got it, and brought it back to the con so Alex could pick it up for him the next day.
Yeah, talk to the dealers. They'll work with you.
Yeah, so like if a guy has every plushie in the known universe, like I remember there was these Pac-Men, and you would put batteries in them, and the Pac-Men ghosts, and they would walk around, and they were really cool, but they didn't have green. So I was like, do you have green? And they were like, you know, if they made green, we'd have it. So I found out they didn't make green. But you know what? If they would have made green and they just didn't have one there, they would have brought one for me.
Now, to get back onto the actual advice part instead of us reminiscing.
Ah, yes.
Leaving the con on Sunday, basically, you have to forego sleep. Just remember that you can sleep Sunday night when you get home. You can sleep later. Don't sleep Sunday morning and don't sleep in. Most hotels make you check out around noon, so you got to be out of the room and paid by noon.
And the cons usually end early afternoon. Very few of them go all day Sunday.
Now, that in itself doesn't sound so bad. Like, all right, you get up at, say, you know, 11, get out of the room, check out, and go to the con. No. First off, everyone else has the same idea. So you'll be ready to leave your room. You try to go downstairs, and there will be an infinite number of fanboys standing around every elevator. Half of them will break from the strain. It takes about 2.5 hours to actually check out of a crowded convention hotel.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So basically what you have to do is seriously get up at like 6 in the morning, gather all your stuff, and if everyone else in the room sucks and isn't going to do it on your own. Get all your stuff, put it on your car, pay whoever you have to pay, and then get the hell out of that room and go enjoy the convention.
Mm-hmm. Because the cons on Sunday, they start at 8 a.m. or whatever, you know? And if you wait until, like, you know, noon to get your stuff out of your room, you basically missed 8 to noon. That's 4 hours just threw away.
If you check out by 9 a.m., it'll take you about 45 minutes to check out and clear out the room and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. If you try to check out around 11 or noon, it'll take you about an hour and a half. Maybe 2 hours.
Now, make sure that you go over that room and you make sure absolutely nothing is left in there, because people will leave shit there. I guarantee it.
Yeah, we've had people leave shoes. We told you about all that in another podcast.
Yeah, I think we did.
But basically, keep your stuff together and worry about your own stuff first. If you kept all your stuff in a spot like we told you before, you probably won't have much trouble unless someone moved it.
If someone moved it, God help them.
And if you're the one who paid for the room and you didn't collect money yet, you're screwed. Collect the money before you even let people into that room.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to hunt everyone down and collect all that money while you're checking out. Also, if you need the cash to check out, don't make the mistake we did the first time we ever got a hotel room at a big con. Sure, everyone paid me before it was time to check out. Most of them wrote me a check. So me and Scott are standing at the checkout desk of the hotel. We've got like 8 checks with us for varying amounts of money, but no cash to actually pay.
Yeah, the hotels don't like that. They can't really take a check from you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a nice credit card, then they're going to yell at you.
Yeah, of course, now we have a million credit cards. You actually have money. But back then, we didn't have money. Now, Sunday at the con, there's actually a lot going on, but not so much for the events. Sunday is generally a really laid-back day, and you'll usually just run into all the people you might have seen once or twice during the con and just chill with them.
Mm-hmm. Lots of hanging out that you definitely don't want to miss out on.
Yep, one year we just sat in a lobby and played Puerto Rico, a German board game, until they kicked us out of the convention center. And a bunch of people came over and joined in and talked to us, and it was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I can highly, highly recommend is that most cons have some sort of closing ceremonies or feedback session. They are usually hilarious.
Yeah, the opening ceremonies are usually, like, lame. Like, no one goes to them for a reason.
Yeah, Anime Central is really the only con I've ever seen that had a funny opening ceremony.
But at the closing ceremonies, all the con staff, they're, like, done doing all the work they have to do. They're just like, yeah, whatever, it's all over, I don't care anymore. They haven't had enough sleep.
The feedback panels are exquisite treasures to reminisce forever.
I wish someone recorded them all.
The first con feedback panel we ever went to, we went to it on a lark. It had everything. It had stupid fanboys complaining about things that no one except stupid fanboys would care about, and con staff telling them to, you know, be quiet and just ignore, not worry about it. It had crazy cosplay people complaining about the cosplay in ways that I didn't think people could complain about cosplays. It had the staff actually answering questions we had very logically and concisely. What was it you asked about chairs at the concert, right?
Yeah, why did the concert have chairs? Why wasn't it just general admission? And the guy was like, I wanted it to be general admission so bad, but I couldn't do it. And I'm like, as long as I know you wanted it to be so bad, it's okay.
Yep.
And then, like, he came over to me and he was like, oh my God. You know, if the guy comes over to you after answering your question officially to talk to you more, that means your question was probably good.
Now, last and least, and we're going to do a whole show on this someday because it applies to life in general, but we're going to talk about it now specifically from a con perspective. Drama.
Drama is only caused by stupidity. If there is no stupidity, there can be no drama by definition.
Yep. We started talking about it earlier. We got sidetracked. But basically, you can be friends with people who have drama surrounding them, but and you can have fun with them at a convention. But if they're in your room, you're going to have to deal with their drama. If you have friends who are prone to drama, not to be mean, but have them stay with someone else. You'll thank yourself later.
I mean, this drama can range from two people in your room, you know, or maybe one person in your room just having a fight with someone and being all mopey or being all grunty around your room to, like, I don't know, someone in their room doing it and then trying to kill themselves and God knows what kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, we had some friends who basically, to cut a long and embarrassing and kind of scary story short, this dude like stole a cosplay costume from another friend of ours who was doing a cosplay or something. And none of these people were in our room. And it basically came down to one person's older brother appearing and actively trying to beat to death the said person who took the cosplay object.
It was an asshole doing something asshole-ish because he was stupid. And then a stupid guy deciding to try to solve a problem with violence instead of police because he was stupid.
Yep.
And drama ensued. Stupidity plus stupidity equals drama.
Now, luckily, half the people who were in that room who were involved in that said, hey, we want to stay with Rim and Scott this year because there's no drama with them ever.
Yep. So think about it. There was drama involving, what, maybe three or four people total, right?
Yep. And it almost ruined the con for all of them.
Yeah, and in the room with those people, were eight people total. So four people almost had their cons ruined by four people who were all dumb. So those four people, if they would have stayed with us with our drama-lessness, they would have been all set.
Yep.
So if you get caught with drama, just run away. Run away and don't involve yourself with it whatsoever.
Like, if a guy and a girl who you're friends with are dating, but they're in the middle of a bad row and they're fighting with each other all the time, you don't want them in the room. Because conventions add stress, and stress causes violent breakup in the middle of your Saturday night party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be scary.
Yeah. I mean, there have been situations where someone was just kicked out of their room and didn't have anywhere to stay for the night. What other stupid stories have we heard? People get drunk and pass out and almost die.
People spend all their money and then start begging for it. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, this really applies to the people who run the rooms. Don't let people who have drama stay in your room with you. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't know how that'll help, because then the people who have drama, I don't know where they stay. I guess it's Russian roulette.
They stay with each other. Or they stay alone, or they don't come. If they don't come, it makes the convention better, because then more drama-less people come.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good. Eventually, we'll get rid of all the stupid people, and then the cons will be perfect, with no drama whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I guess it's partly that we've been lucky, and two, that we have a really good group of friends, and, like, even primary friends and peripheral friends, they're all really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we leave all our money and wallets out in the room. No one even, like, considers the idea that someone would steal anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I hear stories from people who, like, someone stole $20 out of the hotel fund before they left.
Yep. Now, another thing is, no matter how nice or helpful or whatever you think you're doing, don't try to help solve a drama. Don't try to avert a drama. Don't try to do anything to it. Because you know what? As soon as you put your hand in there to try to change it for better or for worse, you're now a part of it.
It's like when two dogs are fighting and you try to break them up and then they both bite you.
Yeah. Now, you got to worry, because if you're a smart guy like us, right? Let's say it was me, Rim, and three other people, and you're one of the three other people. And the two other people that I haven't mentioned get in a fight, and you try to help them. When we cast away those two people, we're casting away you with them, because you're attached.
Yep. Basically, in every social group of people, there are designated problem solvers. It just seems to happen naturally. Like, there's always one or two people who, whenever there's shit that goes down, they're the one who steps up, deals with it, and meters out the consequences. In our group, we tend to be those people.
Mm-hmm.
So find someone like that in your group. If two people are fighting and you're not 100% confident that you can deal with it, don't deal with it. Let someone else deal with it, or walk away, or just vow to never let them stay with you again.
I got nothing to do with it. That's all I gotta say.
I guess the only contradiction to that advice is that if there's a dangerous situation, deal with it immediately.
Yes.
Of course, I mean, if you have to, call the police.
Mm-hmm.
If something bad happens at a con, don't pretend it'll go away. Unless it's something minor and stupid. If there's a real problem, just let a professional handle it.
Yeah, and even though you might look like an idiot, there's nothing wrong with yelling really loud at the convention for security or con staff if something's going on.
At Otakon, if you yell for security, Special Ops is there in a second.
Yeah. You know, people might look at you and be like, hey, you were yelling, that was weird, and you know, you'll get attention, but you'll fix whatever was fixing if it was needed. Do it.
Yep. Now, if you're the kind of person who's confident to deal with these situations, and you think that you have enough authority over your friends in that circumstance to deal with the problem, go for it. But be warned that that's a very dangerous road to follow.
Mm.
I mean, I've personally intervened in some situations like that before, both in my official capacity as, you know, running an anime club back in the day, and just as my unofficial position of I happen to be there. And in both cases, no matter how well you think you're handling it, there's always something you're not thinking about, or there's too much stupidity around, and you're going to get caught in it.
It's time for the fun analogy game. If someone's about to fall off a cliff, and you try to reach your hand over to grab them and catch them and pull them back up, you might end up falling down.
Yep.
So don't let drama ruin the convention.
Yeah. I mean, the only real advice there is that either don't let people who have drama come with you. And if they do, let their drama burn them and not you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've pretty much run out of useful things to talk about for a series on convention. So we'll probably end it here.
Great. Now what are we going to do next?
Maybe we just do one where we just tell stories from conventions. It's not like we don't have an infinite number of them.
Yeah. Well, the convention season's starting about now. We've got some February cons coming up.
Yep. We're not doing anything at it, but I'm at least going to be at KatsuCon.
Yeah, and I think I'm almost certain of going to the New York Comic Con and possibly UberCon.
Yeah, I think we're both going to UberCon unless it conflicts with things.
Yep.
I'm going to be speaking, doing at least one panel at Animazement in May, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's some tentative news that we might be doing Geek Nights Live at Otakon.
Maybe.
We mentioned that in the forums a while ago.
Yeah, that's why you should keep checking out the forums, because you'd find out cool stuff like the fact that this podcast was available yesterday. So if you're not checking our website and your forums, you're getting stuff a little slow there behind the times.
Because we actually got the news that we're most likely going to be doing many Geek Nights things at Otakon about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who reads the forums knows about it, but you guys don't.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to check us out, just go to Otakon, and you'll meet us. I 100% guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh, we'll also be at Toracon at RIT in Rochester.
Oh, yep.
They don't have the website up yet, but I'll yell at them about that.
And that's not all. We might go to some more conventions as we decide to, randomly.
Yeah, because now that we have money and we're not poor college kids, we go to almost any convention that's worth going to, mm-hmm. that we can afford to.
Yep, according to the rules we talked about three podcasts ago.
Yep, well, two podcasts ago.
Ah, true.
Because I used to go to Anime Central, and I love that con. It's still on my list as one of my favorite cons, but Chicago is too far away from New York City.
It's real.
And flying sucks.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, though ASEN was really worth it. I had some damn good times there.
So go there.
Yeah.
I'm going to PAX.
We've always wanted to go to PAX. It's just a matter of flying there.
The one thing that really keeps me from going to PAX is the East Coast PAX rumor.
Yeah, if there's an East Coast PAX... Well, actually, we had a plan. PAX is the Penny Arcade Expo, if you don't know. And we decided one year that we were going to go to PAX. And because our tradition as our group of friends is generally we go to Otakon. And then our good friend Scott Johnson has a beach house in Wildwood, New Jersey. And we'll go there then for like the next week afterward and just chill and reminisce about the con and swim. Mm-hmm. And we decided that we were going to get a bunch of sand and seawater from the East Coast. And then if we ever went to PAX, we were going to anoint Gabe and Tycho either forcibly or maybe with some sort of permission, depending on the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. But... they did come to the East Coast actually relatively recently again for I think the second or third time, but they went to the Baltimore Comic Con, which we couldn't go to.
Yeah,
which
the
is
Baltimore
in the same
Comic-Con,
building as Otakon, but it was real small.
Yeah, I mean Otakon takes up the entire Baltimore Convention Center and more. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Comic Con takes up like a couple of rooms in the convention center.
It was smaller than the dealer's room of Otakon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't go to that, and then I think they went to some other, I think they went to MIT and spoke or something, but we didn't go to that either.
Yeah, we were actually busy. There's a reason why we didn't go.
Yeah, but, you know, those bastards, they were going to come to Otakon once, and they didn't.
Yeah, that Otakon we were at, we expected them to be there, but no, they backed out last minute.
Well, I knew they canceled right before the con, but, you know, still, bastards. We'll get them one day. One day.
Yeah, in closing, go to conventions. They're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else I can say.
Fair.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.